We have just a few minutes now, so let's lay out the question and hopefully some more of the questions. Let's lay out the overarching kasha clearly, succinctly, and then let's lay out some more questions which will begin to point us towards the first answer. Tosvos and Samach Vav Amar Aleph, we saw that Tosvos leads with the question of when, how early can I count Sirius Omer? And that was relevant the other day because we see in the Tosfos' assumption that Sirius Omer is Rabbanan Buzmanaz. Yeah? That then leads Tosfos into the first psak, which they quote from the Bahag, which occupies the length, the bulk of this Tosfos, which is how late can you count Sirius Omer? Can I count even by Yom or not? And it's several lines into Tosfos, so six, seven lines in, Heichad Shochach Lispar Balayla Pasak Bahag Shesofer Bayom. Is it only ideal to count Sirius Omer during the day, or is it Li'ikuva? Because Bahag held that nighttime is not Li'ikuva. If you didn't count at night, you can count during the day. We saw the other day the Rambam says that as well. And that occupies the bulk of Tosfos. And then at the very end, the second psak of Bahag, which is our focus. Oh, Pasuk of Halachos Gedolos and the Sefer Halachos Gedolos, he also issues the following psak, Shem Hifsik Yom Echad, not only did I miss the night, I missed the night and the day, then already, clearly I wasn't Yotze that day. Okay. That's goes without saying. The question is, what are the long-term implications? Shem Hifsik Yom Echad V'lo Sofar, neither that night nor during the day, Shuv Eino Sofer. You can no longer count Sirius Omer. Mishum debaya tamimos. Because you need tamimos. You need a whole count. It's not going to be a whole count. You missed a day, you're out. Just to clarify, before you even move any further, there's a misconception, there's an urban legend that many people have that if you miss a day, you can't count at all. That's not Psak Halacha L'maisa. It is the Shita of the Bahag. The Bahag doesn't say you have to stop making a bracha. The Bahag said you miss a day, don't bother counting at all. You will accomplish nothing, according to the Bahag, by continuing to count. Don't bother. Don't shake lulav and cheshvan. Don't shake even on sukkahs a lulav without an esrog. And don't bother counting 28, 29, 30 if you miss the night and the day of 27. That's the position of the Bahag. Halacha lemaaseh, Shulchan Aruch says, we don't predominantly follow the Bahag. We follow the other Rishonim who say you should continue counting. Since the Bahag holds there's no mitzvah whatsoever, we wouldn't make a bracha. According to the Bahag, there's no mitzvah at all, so certainly a bracha and bracha vatola, we do count, but out of deference to the Bahag, we wouldn't make a bracha. Now, why do we count? Because after all, Tosfos goes on to say in the last line, V'teima gedolu. This is an assumption of the Bahag. You missed one day, you're out. That is absolutely shocking. V'lo yitachin. It cannot be. It is a logically untenable position. Utterly unacceptable. Tosfos doesn't even bother to tell you why. Oh, you almost picture Tosfos like, oh, it's overwhelmed by Hashver. It can't make it to Kasha. It's just absurd. Absurd. And you don't often hear language like this in Tosfos. Tema gadola velo yitachin. You'll hear of it in Tomar, sometimes you'll hear of a tema, the tema gadola velo yitachin, and then you just drop the mic and not even bother telling us what the kash is, because it's just so incredibly schwer. I'm not even going to tell you what the kash is. Tosfos really is very bothered by the Bahag. But we would like to know, well, what indeed is the kash? So who does explicate Tosfos? The Prima Gadim. And the Rush, right? Let's go step by step. The Rush comes at the end of the period of Balei Tosfos, historically speaking. And so he took the Rif, and that was his basis. Rif had lived as been a contemporary of Rashi in the 11th century, the 1000s, so to speak. And he had written a summary of Shas. So the Rif took the Rush in the 1300s, takes the Rif and adds material from Balei Tosfos. So here, as we saw the other day, the Rif chose to discuss Sfira Sa'omer and Chadash in the Pesachim. So the Rosh follows that. And here, Siman Mem Aleph, the very Perek Yud, Siman Mem Aleph, at the very end, he follows the flow of Tosas, begins with the first issue the Bahag raises about can be Yotze Bayom, then at the very end of Siman Mem Aleph, Od Kasav Bahag, Shem Hifzik Yomechav Lo Siper, or Lo Sofar, Shuvei No Sofer, Dibayin and Tamimus. That's the Bahag. Vein Nir Lari. Says the Ri did not like that. He's not ready hearing a name, a particular Balatosis, the Ri Azakim, the nephew of the Rei Otam, great grandson of Rashi, one of the foremost Balatosis. Ein Nir Lari, Dechol Laila Velaila Mitzvah Nifiatmi. That's untenable because every night is its own mitzvah. In other words, presumably, the Bahag holds that's one big mitzvah. And then he says, it's just not true. Yeah, if it's one big mitzvah, so then you miss a day, you're out. Just like there's one mitzvah, the Mishnah Menachos tells us, the Arba Minim Shabalulav are all one mitzvah. If you don't have an Esrig, you're not going to fulfill anything by Shekhin Ulav. Okay, so if all the countings are one big mitzvah, if you didn't do 27, there's no point in doing 28. The Ri says, but I disagree fundamentally with that assumption. Each night is its own mitzvah. Kol laila v'laila mitzvah. That's me. If a Jew, Rachman son, didn't put on tefillin yesterday, that's not cause to not put on tefillin today. That's atzasi etzahara. Yesterday was a mitzvah and today's a mitzvah. I missed out on yesterday. That's not a reason to therefore double my losses by missing on today as well. And if I made one bad investment, I lost a chunk of my savings, I shouldn't say, well, I lost 20% of my savings, I may as well take the other 90% and flush them away also. That's absurd. Yeah. So the Ri says, yesterday is a mitzvah, today is a mitzvah. He missed yesterday. The best tshuva is make sure to count today. Bahar presumably holds, it's not tshuva, it's too late. Do a good job of counting next year, but for this year you're gone because it's one big mitzvah. Then, as you mentioned, Prima Gadim says, let me prove that the Ri is accurate. Well, how does the people got him do that? Very subtly. By saying, Vav Yud Lamed, V'yeshla Ayin, or Yeshla Akshos, Ikulu Chada Mitzvah, Ein Mevarchin B'chol Laila. If it's one big mitzvah, then I wouldn't say a bracha every single night. I don't say a separate bracha on the Esrog and the Lulav and this Hadas and that Hadas. It's one mitzvah with one bracha. Tzilas Lulav covers all four minim. So if indeed it's one mitzvah, shouldn't there be only one bracha if it's Sarachin? As the Prima Gadim is saying, I've proof positive that the Ri is correct and the Bahag is wrong. How could the Bahag, or how could anyone argue with the Ri's assertion that Kalayla Levayla Mitzvah Bifnei Atzmi, after all, you make a separate bracha every single night? That's strong kasha. So I mentioned we're going to be looking two different, there are at least two different ways to resolve this. Rav Shechter quotes two different approaches from the Rav, and the first kuntras in Eretz Tzvi, in Siman Gimel Eretz Tzvi. It would begin. We're going to begin the first one by looking at Charosas and by looking at Maror. There's a shocking rush. Shagas Ari is very shocked at the rush, who says, seems to say that, well, there's no need for a Kazai, you need to have a Kazayas of Maror because, well, we say a Bracha Al-Khilas Maror. So therefore you need a Kazayas. Shagas Ari says that sounds really backwards. If you need a kezayis, so then you should say bracha al chilas mara. But if you don't, if the mitzvah doesn't require a kezayis, the mitzvah requires what it requires, not because of the bracha. It's a strange rush which we'll have to look at inside tomorrow and unpack. And then there is we'll make sure to have a chance tomorrow or next time to look at the sugya of Charosas, and specifically to see the Rambam does a double switch. When he was younger to when he was older, changing his mind about how to pass the machlok satanam, whether Charosas is a mitzvah or not, and changing his mind on whether Charosas being a mitzvah means that it should require a bracha. When he was younger, he said, there's no bracha because we pass the Charosas isn't really a mitzvah. Whatever that means, we'll have to figure out whether it even means Charosas is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. But the Rambam, as he got older, changed his mind from Pirush Mishnayos to the Mishnah Torah and said, well, Charus is a mitzvah, but you don't need a bracha. Which raises the question, if it's a mitzvah, then why shouldn't there be a bracha? Why would we make a bracha on charoses? And the Rambam originally, when he was younger, thought, indeed, if it's a mitzvah, it should require a bracha like any other. And we're going to have a chance to read the Rambam sensitively and notice that the Rambam is telling us something about, as he proceeds, about how the mitzvah of charoses works, how it's structured, that might give us a clue to why, although it's a mitzvah, it's a sort of mitzvah that has no bracha, and that in turn might give us a sense of how Birkas HaMitzvahs work in general. Looking at clues in Maran Charoses may give us clues into how Birkas HaMitzvah work in general, which in turn may give us a sense of how to respond to the Prima Gadim's Kasha, or if there are 49 brachas, isn't that proof positive? There are 49 mitzvahs. That's going to be the first approach, which we'll pick up with next time.